Its current state on 90.5 WKAR, 70 years ago today, the first atomic weapon ever used in warfare was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. That bomb, and the second one, dropped 3 days later on Nagasaki, killed more than 200,000 people and forced an abrupt end to World War II. What happened to the crew that delivered the bomb to Tinian Island just days before is one of the most dramatic stories of the war. The tale of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis was famously recounted by actor Robert Shaw in the classic 1975 film Jaws.
Japanese submarine slammed two torpedoes into our side, Chief. It was coming back from the island of Tinian to Lady and just delivered the bomb. The Hiroshima bomb. 1,100 men went into the water. The vessel went down in 12 minutes. Didn't see the first shark for about half an hour. Tiger, 13-footer. You know that when you're in the water, Chief? You tell by looking from the dorsal to the tail. What we didn't know was our bomb mission had been so secret. No distress signal had been sent.
Today, 31 survivors of the Indianapolis tragedy are still alive. Current State's Kevin Lavery just met one of them who lives in Lansing. In July 1945, Dick Thalen was an 18-year-old sailor on the Indianapolis. The ship had left Tinian Island bound for Leyte in the Philippines. There were nearly 1,200 men on board. Early in the morning of July 30th, Dick Thalen was trying to catch a nap before reporting on deck to stand his watch.
I was going to go on watch at 4 in the morning. I was up on the bow, sleeping in the bow, because a man had watched before me, and he was going to wake me up at 4:15 for the 4-8 watch in the morning. But I lay down about 10:15, and the ship was hit at 10 after, so I didn't sleep very long.
Do you recall what it sounded like, what it felt like?
Well, I was sleeping probably 8-12 feet from the outer spine of the ship. And when I picked myself up, I had to hold the cable that goes outside the ship. I went in the air, and I don't know if I went 2 feet or 22 feet. I have no idea. But that's the way I woke up. I was going through the air. Anyhow, when I come down, I couldn't find my clothes or my shoes. So, in other words, when I hit the water, I just had my shorts on. I lost everything.
And were you injured in that initial blast?
Well, I bumped a leg pretty bad. I got discharged from it. But other than that, I was lucky. I didn't draw no blood.
Events happened pretty quickly from that moment on. What was happening in those first few moments as you and your shipmates were starting to understand what was happening?
Well, so many times you were sleeping, thought you were real safe. Then all at once you was out in that ocean, dark, and you're floating around that diesel fuel, which is not pretty. And you knew you was in trouble. As days went on, we kept talking to each other, thought we'd get picked up, within a day or so it won't be too bad. But as the days went on, of course, we got hungrier and thirstier and kind of given up a little bit. But finally, we was rescued. It took a while.
You were floating in the South Pacific for something like 104 hours. Were you a strong swimmer before that?
I was a swimmer in junior high school team. Yeah, I was a good swimmer. And that helped me in the water. A friend of mine, he was in the water with me. I went through boot camp with him, and he had his shoes on. He was fully clothed. And I told him to take his shoes off because he's going to wear himself out kicking his shoe. He said, "Dick, I can't swim." Well, he died with his shoes on.
We're talking with Dick Thalen, who is one of 31 remaining survivors of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis at the very end of World War II. How did you keep your spirits up? That is, whenever you were conscious, I guess you were drifting in and out of consciousness for 4 days.
Well, to me, my opinion, and others are too, that it's easier to die out there than just try to stay alive, because you had to work at it to stay alive. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's got a breaking point in his mind. Some break earlier than others. Some last longer than others. I'm very lucky that everything was on the right way. My health was good, so that helped.
As you're watching your fellow sailors being eaten by sharks and exposure and dehydration, and was there a moment or two that you wanted to die, you did not want to survive?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few times I said, well, hell, we ain't going to make it. And, I've seen some guys surface dive, take their jacket off, said they're going down below deck, get a drink of water. Well, down below deck, drink of water is cold water, of course. And if you do that and you gulp salt water on every stomach, you got about two or three hours to live. Foam comes to your mouth, your eyeballs pop out, and you'll go totally insane. In other words, they splash in the water, they go crazy. So in other words, their diamond's real limited. I say a few of them do that, so I didn't want to do that. I didn't do it. So every time I was ready to give up, there was my dad's face. He brought me home.
Today, as we're talking, Mr. Thalen, it's Sunday, August 2nd. It is 70 years to the day when you were rescued. And that rescue happened by accident.
That's right. Well, you want me to tell you how exactly on that rescue?
Please.
Okay, Chuck Gwynn, I got real close to him. He lives in California. He came to our Navy reunions. And he was asked to check he called it a whirligig, to hook that whirligig to his trailing antenna, because the antenna was going whipping into the tail section of the plane.
This was a Catalina PBY seaplane.
Yeah, and the whirligig fell off. And Chuck said, the whirligig didn't fall off. None of us survived, because the whirligig fell off. So the radio man got a hold of Chuck to come aft to wind the antenna in. And that's when he seen the oil slick. Now, if that was malfunction of the antenna, he'd never seen us. So we are very, very lucky. There's a big ocean out there, and how big diameter that oil slick, I really can't tell you. But it wasn't very big compared to the ocean, you know what I'm saying? Just dropping a bucket. And Chuck said he'd come over top of the oil slick. He couldn't see anything, so he thought he'd get down a little lower. Well, he dropped lower X amount of feet, and that's when he seen survivors.
Completely by chance, then, a glint of light in the water.
He came over me after he seen us, and he had the bomb bay doors open, and I told him that. When he went over top of me, he just swayed his plane back and forth like that. So it was heaven on earth. You can't explain it. When they first picked up the survivors at the plane, they found out then where we were, who we were, what ship we come off of. Until Thursday afternoon, nobody knew nothing.
Now, this would be a compelling story anyway if it were not for the incredible mission that you were on to begin with. Your ship was delivering the components for the first atomic bomb.
Yeah, but the atomic bomb didn't have nothing to do with the sinking.
Right, exactly.
You know, it was just no. And also, we already delivered it, so in other words, we was going to join the 7th Fleet for the invasion of Japan in Leyte. That's where we was headed.
And you saw the bomb components on board?
Oh, yeah. Well, they were in a big wooden box. I didn't see what it looked like, no.
We're talking with Dick Thalen, one of 31 remaining survivors from the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. That was the vessel that carried the components of the first atomic bomb to Tinian Island in the end of World War II, July of 1945. Then after this horrific incident, Mr. Thalen, came the court-martial of your commanding officer, Captain Charles McVeigh III, the only time in the history of the United States Navy that a commanding officer was court-martialed for losing a ship.
That's right. It never happened before. They wonder why, but they did. That's why. The Navy was trying to blame somebody for all the loss of life, and he couldn't do it. They got accused him, but he was exonerated later in life, or later in the world.
But it was too late, actually, because he committed suicide in the 60s.
In 68, and we didn't get exonerated until 1990. And we fought for 25, 30 years to get him exonerated.
Was the Navy's rationale to Captain McVeigh, look, what would have happened if you had been sunk while you still had the bomb on board?
The bomb was not put together, so it wouldn't be on, there wouldn't be no explosion or nothing. The Navy didn't want to take their blame for it. They want to pass the buck to somebody else. See, so that's the way it is. That's the way the Navy operates.
How long, Mr. Thalen, after the event did you begin to settle into a normal psychological life? Does it still haunt you?
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about it for years. My wife and I got married in 51. And the first book, Abandoned Ship, came out in 58. That's the first she knew I was on that ship. She didn't know the name of the ship, how long I was in the water, or nothing, because I didn't tell her. I just couldn't talk about it years ago.
Has it become the defining moment of your life, and are you okay with that if it has? I mean, obviously, this was 70 years ago, and you've had a very long, full life.
Oh, yeah. I told my whole family, if something happened to me today, heart attack, stroke, I'm gonna be whatever, I lived my life. Don't ever shed a tear over my life, because I'm 88 years old, and you can't live forever. And I'm happy with my life. I had some serious operations a few years ago, and my second wife died here just last 4th of July this year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
About a month ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. She had ill health. Nice woman. We was married 9 years. So one of those things. Part of life, you know. See, so you never know what the future is going to bring for you.
Sounds like all in all, though, you've come up pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy with my life and the family. Like I said, they're all healthy. There's no alcohol involved in the family or no drugs. None of them spend any time in jail. So I've raised them, so they've done things right, or tried to anyhow. So, I'm pleased.
Dick Thalen is one of 31 remaining survivors of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis, the vessel that was carrying the components of the first atomic bomb to Tinian Island. And the sinking happened after the parts were delivered 70 years ago this week. Mr. Thalen, thank you for your incredible story and for your incredible service to our country. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Hope I did good.
You did great. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.